Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter number 3. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. The minor prophets, you can find that just before you get to the New Testament. Zephaniah will be after it. Habakkuk chapter number 3 is where we'll be looking today. Well, this is Thanksgiving week. I'm grateful for Thanksgiving week, and I'm glad we've got a day laid aside to celebrate it. But literally, we have every right or every need to be thankful every day we live. It's a blessing just to be able to get out of bed this morning and come to the house of God, to be able to stand here before you and declare the Word of God, and hopefully, by the blessings of God, see someone saved or someone's heart encouraged or strengthened by what is done. It all began, seemingly, this Thanksgiving Day that we celebrate began, I guess, back in 1621, but in 1620, there was 102 pilgrims that made their way to the New World. Over the next year that came about, 56 of them died of starvation and disease and winter cold. And in 1621, 46 pilgrims and 91 Native Americans met to give thanks for the bountiful harvest and for preservation of their lives. The pilgrims had every reason to be depressed and discouraged. Promise you, that must have been some rough times. In fact, you know, I think today this generation that's living today has no idea what it's like to really suffer or even sacrifice for anything that we do upon here. But in spite of all their deprivations and in spite of all the hardships they faced, they were still a thankful people. And I guess the lesson we can learn today is the importance of no matter what the circumstances are, we still have a lot to be thankful for. And no matter what's happened in our life, and we can't let circumstances control our life, we have to let God control our life. In the book of Habakkuk, it was written against the backdrop of apostasy and judgment, as well as unbelievable hardships. It was written during a time when Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, led the people of Judah into adultery and led them away from the Lord. As a result, God is preparing at the point in Habakkuk's ministry to judge the nation for that. And Habakkuk had a hard time understanding that. He had a hard time, had trouble understanding why God would use a heathen nation such as the Babylonians to punish the people of God. He cannot understand why God doesn't purge their sins and draw them back to himself. He doesn't understand why God doesn't work harder to make a righteous people. Habakkuk was a lot like Job was. I don't know of any man that I know of other than the Lord Jesus Christ that suffered any more than the Lord did. And that was Job, the old prophet found in the book of Job. And we find when Job had all the hardships that came, he, like Habakkuk, he argued his case, but it was to no avail, and he came to the conclusion that God was in charge, in control of everything, and that's the way it had to be. So here we come to our text today, and if you have your Bibles, look at chapter 3 of Habakkuk. I'm going to begin reading verse number 17, I'm going to read through verse 19, and I'm going to share just a few thoughts this morning that I hope will be a blessing to you. Here's Habakkuk with the backdrop of what's taking place, the apostasy that's there, all the things that's happening. Here's what he said. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I don't know why you take that, but I take that as being very bleak and dark hour that he was going through. But I love what he said in verse 18. He said, yet, in spite of all the circumstances, in spite of all the lack of food, in spite of all the lack of animals and things that we have, he said, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he'll make my feet like hinds' feet, and he'll make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my string instruments. Habakkuk had every reason there was to fret. There was a lot of things that he questioned, but he chose to be thankful instead. Friend, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how things look at your house. I know how things are. It may be bleak. It may be difficult. It may be hard. But I want you to know today, we still have a lot to be thankful for. I tell you today, you ought to thank God, first of all, for your family. You ought to thank God for the opportunity just to be able to be here today. And in spite of everything that goes on around us, understand what God has done. The key words in these three verses are although and yet. Habakkuk is saying, basically what he's saying when he says those words and uses them, although and yet. Here's what he's saying. I don't understand what's happening. I do not understand what the Lord's doing. I don't know why God's ways are higher than my ways, but even though I'm bothered by what I see and feel, I'm going to be thankful. And I want to challenge you this morning to be thankful. Whatever it is, friend, we've got, listen, if you're saved this morning, you got a lot to be thankful for. But the fact of it is today, we need to lift the Lord Jesus Christ up. Friend, God knows where we are today. He knows the circumstances of our life. He knows what we're experiencing, but God is still good, and He's good all the time. And I'm grateful today to be able here to celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday that we have, but to praise our Lord Jesus Christ for all what we've done. You see, the day of our time is not, it's very similar to the day of Habakkuk's time. There's all kind of things going on. Sin is rampant. It's more rampant than I've ever seen it in my lifetime. Corruption is at a higher echelon than I think it's ever been. Society, someone says, is a power keg waiting to explode. The economy is teetering. The interest rates are going up. Finances, the gas, and people are talking about hardships of making a living. People are suffering. Disease stalks the land. People are dying. Victims, we're still hearing of victims of COVID and things that are happening in our society today. These are strange and dark days, and many people are afraid. But friend, if you're a child of God, we need not be afraid. We need to trust in our holy God, one who will meet and supply every need we have. But here we can be like Habakkuk. We can either look at the circumstances and then we can deny that we have anything we can do about it, or either we can turn to God and thank Him for everything that He's done. Don't mention a lot, but this past Friday was 18 years ago that I lost my son in a car accident on the 18th of November. My heart was saddened on yesterday as I remembered him and thought about him. But I can still stand here today and say, my God is good. He supplied every need we have. He strengthened us all along the way. It hadn't been easy. And I tell you, I could have looked back and said, what's the use of going on? But the reason we need to go on is for those that come behind us, as well as exalting God for what He's done. Sometimes we give in to our fears, but we need to choose the Lord. We fear, worry, and doubt, but we need to make a conscious decision today to be thankful. You know, somebody, I've heard people say this quite often. I don't have anything to be thankful for. God forbid. If you're a child of God, you've got a lot to be thankful for. And even if you're not a child of God, we're blessed to be where we are today and to live and have what we have so much more than other people around the world have. We ought to thank God for it. And I want to give you just a few reasons today why we need to be thankful during this holiday season. Number one, God's sovereignty never changes. God's sovereignty never changes. You see, circumstances change, but God never changes. We read in verse 17 and 18 about the fig tree not blossoming, the fruit not being on the vines, the labor of the olive failing, the fields not yielding no meat, the flock being cut off from the fold. There was no herd, but yet He made a decision. He said, yet, in spite of all that, I'm not going to let that drag me down. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You see, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what takes place in our life, we change, don't we? I mean, one of the fellow that drove the wrecker the other night that came to pick up the truck that was in our building, he looked at me and said, do you remember me? And I said, well, I don't think so. He said, I used to come to church here when I was a little boy. And I looked at him, and I really, be honest, I still couldn't call his name, and he told me his name. And he remembered Brother David and Brother Emery, and he remembered everybody, Miss Debbie, he mentioned you. And so we just had a talk, and he told me he was going to try to come today, and I guess he didn't make it, but maybe he'll come soon. But you know what? God was the same the day that we were bringing those kids in as He is today. God hadn't changed. We have. And friend, today we need to understand we got a lot to be thankful for. The Bible said in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The winds of time change, circumstances change, age comes, and many things happen in our life, but God continues to be the same. When Joseph was in Egypt, God loved Joseph, and Joseph was a man that loved God. But you know, they had 7 years of feast and 7 years of famine. even in his day. We find everything in Job's world was turned upside down in one day. God allowed Job because he knew that he was a man that loved God. He knew that he was a man that hated evil. And he told the devil, here, take Job. You can do whatever you want to him, and he will not turn against me. And Job, even though we mentioned he had questions, his children died. It's bad to lose one child. It's bad to lose two children. But could I say today, it would be a tragedy to lose all your children. And I tell you today, that's exactly what happened to Job. He lost his children, his finances. He was a very wealthy man. He was a man that had all kind of land and cattle and all the finances, but all that one day failed him. No doubt his health was broken down. It talks about how he is. But yet, he in the end admitted that God was in control and that God knew what was going on. Wars, plague us, financial depression, many other horrible events have blighted humanity. But friend, hadn't taken God by surprise. Friend, there's one thing you and I are surprised. I was surprised the other day to get here and see somebody parked in our building. That was quite a surprise. But I tell you today, I get surprised all the time. But God never gets surprised. God is always knowing exactly what's going on around about us, as we've already discussed the happenings in the world today. But understand, God is in control. The psalmist said in Psalm 135, verse 5 and 6, for I know, now listen, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today, and I want you to listen to it. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas, in all the deep places. Could I remind you this morning that God controls everything? No doubt he's in charge. In Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. As hard as we may not understand, God allowed what happened here Thursday night. God allows things, what's happening here this morning. God knew who would be here. He knew who was coming to church. But understanding today, we're seeing the bleak picture that is given here, but yet Habakkuk still says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The word Lord and Yahweh, these are God's name. Yahweh identifies God as being self-existent, changeless, or covenant-keeping. And could I tell you anything that God promises you in the Bible, you can bank on it. You can understand that that's the truth of the Word of God. I tell you, you can go buy somebody else's books, and it'll be full of mistakes. But I tell you, if you buy this book right here, if you get the right one, it does not have any mistakes in it. You said, I don't believe that. Well, all I can say is, people say all the time, well, the Word of God contradicts itself. But everybody tells me that. I've never had nobody show me a place where the Word of God contradicted itself. Yet, the word Yahweh identifies him as self-existent. Well, that was and changed this. But it's translated the I Am. Yahweh, he is the one we can depend on in desperate times. We may not always know what God's doing. It's made clear in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Friend, it really doesn't matter what I think. It really doesn't matter what you think. What really matters is what God thinks, and God has given us the opportunity to be saved, to serve him, to love him, and to care for him, and we need to be thankful in everything that God has done for us as we go through this life. While we may never understand the works and ways of God, I've had people, and I've heard it, I go to people's homes, tragedy, heart circumstances, and I hear people say, why did God allow this? Friend, I have no answer for that. I don't know why God does what he does, but I've learned that whatever he does is right. God doesn't make any mistakes. And you say, well, why would he let it happen? And I know people today say, we're talking about children that are sick, and they say, why would God allow that? I don't know, but I promise you, he has a reason. He has a purpose. He has something in his heart to do in order that we might see that it is all according to his plans. A verse that's been very near and dear to my heart is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. No matter how things appear, Friend, God's still in control. The Bible says and teaches us that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. What did he say? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, this is a little bit of a repeat. But I remember waking up in the hospital a few months ago and finding out I'd had open heart surgery that was not planned. And I tell you, I didn't immediately because I had to get my senses together. But when I came around to where I was thinking a little straighter, I literally took time to thank the Lord for what happened. You said, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy. It could have been something else fixing to happen. I don't know. But I know I trust my God to do whatever he needs under any circumstance in life, no matter how things appear. We need to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Let us not look at what we see with our eyes, or think with our brain, or feel with our emotions. We need to learn to trust a sovereign, unchanging God. He's in heaven today, and everything he does, he makes no mistakes. Listen, in Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. In everything, we're to give thanksgiving. Friend, today, thank the Lord today for his blessings, and no matter what the circumstances are. And I got to greet a family this afternoon that's just lost a loved one. And I don't care what the age is. It's never easy to give up someone you love. But I can tell you this. God makes no mistakes, and I can tell you this. God is perfect in his will and in his way. And if you're a child of God, you're better off in heaven than you are upon this earth. I can promise you that. And we need to understand that it's all in God's hands. The second thing I want you to see is God's salvation never ceases. We want you to look with me in just the latter part of verse 18, although I'll read the whole verse. But he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And by the way, we ought to rejoice. But he said, I will joy in the God of my salvation. First and foremost, I'm thankful today to be saved by the grace of God. I'm thankful today to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm grateful to know today that I'm not going to hell. I know people, sometimes we live in a generation of people that think that's a little overboard, overkill. There's no place like hell. Friend, if you believe your Bible, you'll find out there is a place called hell. And I tell you today, I would challenge you today not to walk out of this building today if you don't know you're going to heaven. You say, well, I don't believe we can know. Friend, that's what this book is all about. It tells us how we can know. These things have been written to you that we might know that we have eternal life. The events of life may turn rough and they may stay bad. But the events, listen to me, I don't care how bad things get in this world. It does not affect our salvation. When we get saved, God gives us eternal life. And he said, we shall never perish. Salvation doesn't depend on everything going well. In fact, when I got saved, somebody said, well, when I got saved, I thought I wasn't going to have any more trouble. Boy, you didn't read the whole Bible. It said, in this world, we'll have tribulation. Understand, being a child of God does not exempt us from problems. Problems are going to come, but they come in order that God might teach us and help us along the way. Salvation rests solely upon the amazing grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ought to be grateful for it. Let's be certain about it until we go through life and until we get that phone call or we go into that doctor's visit and we get the information that we really don't want to hear. I want you to know salvation will never be affected by anything that we hear or anything that happens in our life. The word salvation, by the way, applies to more than just the soul. Yes, I believe salvation is God saving us and making a home in heaven for us and one day coming to get us and take us home to be with him. But I want you to know it applies to more than that. The word salvation actually means deliverance and rescue. And one day, the Lord is coming back to rescue us. One day the Lord's coming back. He's come back for all those who are saved, but he comes sometimes by way of death and takes people home to be with him. But the thing is, we can say if that is a child of God, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Understanding immediately upon drawing that last breath here, you'll draw that breath in heaven. He said in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 21:22, In verse number 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Friend, I want you to know today, things may get bad, people may die, tragedy may strike, but friend, if you're saved this morning, you're still going to be saved when it's all said and done. You're still going to heaven because God's not going back on his promise. In John 10, 28 through 30, he said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Last night, I had to apologize to Brother Doyle. I gave him a key, and he said, what door does these open? And I said, "It opens all of them." I said, "It opens every one of them." And he says, "Does this key open this door?" I said, "Doyle, I said, it opens every one of them." And after I said it, I went back and apologized to him. He said, I get it. But the fact of it is, when you talk about all, or when you talk about everything, it includes it all. "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one." Hebrews 13:5, I love this. "I will never leave thee nor forsake." If you think you ain't got nothing to thank God for today, just thank God, first of all, for your salvation. If you're saved, if you're not, you need to get saved. But just thank God today that you're saved and on your way to heaven, and no matter what's taking place in your life, you can depend on God because he'll never leave you. If you're saved, he'll never leave you. In the Old Testament, I know the Spirit came and the Spirit departed, but in the New Testament, when we get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, he never leaves us, period. He's always with us, and so much to be thankful for. I remember we used to have a boys' quartet. They're all men now. They used to sing "Saved to the Uttermost." I used to like to hear that. "Saved to the Uttermost." In other words, if you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. And you can't be saved again. I mean, I say you can't be saved again. If you get saved again, it means you weren't saved for, I guess. But the truth is, when you get saved, you're saved to the uttermost. You're saved in your life to whatever transpires. We may lose everything here. We may lose things that are going on. We may lose all the possessions God's given to us. But God's still with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. One of the greatest things that several of you said to me, "What happened Thursday night? Thank God it didn't happen when we were at church. People was in the parking lot." Friend, I do thank God for that. What a blessing that he chose 10:30 at night to allow it to happen. But it could have been very bad. But irregardless, today we're going to trust God that he'll meet our need. You remember God built a hedge around Job, and the Bible said in Job 1:10, Satan actually was speaking. He said, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him? And about his house, and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." When God allowed Satan access to Job, God did not remove the hedge. All God did was tighten the hedge. And friend, today, when tragedy comes in our life, God just tightens the hedge around us and watches over us and protects us. If we're saved, we belong to the Lord. And we can't deny it, and he'll not deny us. In Isaiah 49:14, he said, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Friend, God will not forget you. God will not forsake you. And today we need to understand how grateful we ought to be, because he today is our advocate, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession in our life. If all we have in this earth is what we depend on, we're of most men miserable. But we have a hope beyond that. All our dreams may crash to the ground. Things may happen around that we don't understand. But the salvation that God has given will never fail. I have failed him, and you failed him. But God will never fail us. And we need to thank God for everything that he does. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform. perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in, Paul speaking, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. Since God's salvation never ceases, we need to understand we can choose to be thankful today. If you don't have anything else you feel to be thankful for, if you're saved, thank God for his salvation and the promise of all he gives. And then thirdly, we see God's strength never collapses. Look at verse 19. He said, the Lord is my strength. The word of strength means the Lord is my ability. Our strength does not lie within us. Our strength lies within him. I hear people sometimes when tragedy happens, they say, preacher, I don't believe I can go on. And I understand where you're coming from. I really do. I'm not saying that there's not been times that I felt that way. But I want you to understand today, you can't go on, and I can't go on. But we can go on with him that will strengthen us and help us and guide us in everything we do. Psalmist said in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When? When we wait upon the Lord, we wait, he will renew our strength. Friend, today I cannot do it and you cannot do it, but we can do it through God, which strengtheneth us. When Habakkuk refers to something, notice what he said. He said, will make my feet like hinds' feet and make me walk upon high places. Understand what he's talking about. When we're unable to stand, he enables us. When we can't go on, he helps us go on. When the valleys are deep, he leads her to higher ground. And Habakkuk talks about hinds' feet. That's referring to grace, agility, and swiftness. The high places speak of the mountain that the hind would go and run, where the deer is free from the dangers found below. So Habakkuk's saying, God enables me. When I'm going through and all the trouble around me and I see what's happening, he said, what I understand is if I wait on the Lord, that he'll renew my strength. And I will be able to move with grace and agility and swiftness. And I'll be able to move to the high place where I cannot be hindered or harmed by all the evil and corruption that is round about it. God gives us strength to time, and this is time to stand in the battle. God turns my doubts to shouts, and he gives me a peace in the midst of my problems if I'll trust him. You see, that's what he did for Job, because when it was all said and done, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. But what did he say? He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Friend, I'm not advocating today that it's a wonderful thing when bad things happen. Tragedy strikes. We learn of something that is going to maybe even be fatal. But I can tell you this. Through it all, she's saying it, through it all, God is going to meet and supply every need that we have. That's what he did for Job, but this is what he did for Paul. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, the Lord speaking to him, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, I accept that God's not going to remove the thorn in my flesh. I accept that. Why? Because he told me his grace was sufficient. And I'd rather go through life with this infirmity, give glory to God, and have the power of God on my life than for him to even take away the problem. God enables his children to stand in their own strength fails. His ability to strengthen us. That's when we need to choose to be thankful. In his trials, Habakkuk learned a valuable lesson. Here's what he learned. He learned a lesson that all God's children need to learn. He learned that God is both our salvation and our song. He learned that God is powerful enough to save us, secure us, and take care of us all the way till we get home. The name Habakkuk means to cling, to embrace, or to wrestle. In a word often used as a garden plant, which sends out the branches to cling to, it embraces everything around about it. Eventually, we see that Habakkuk comes to the place where he embraces God. And even though he don't understand the final end, he clings to God and gives thanksgiving for what he's done. There may be times we wrestle, maybe times we don't understand. The Bible said in Exodus 15, verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." Habakkuk learned that he had nothing to fear from life, but he had amazing reasons why he should choose to thank God. I hope this morning, approaching Thanksgiving Day on Thursday, that we can think of a bunch of reasons why we need to thank God today. And I'm going to tell you today, if you're healthy, if your family's healthy, thank God for it. And if they're not, still thank God for it, because God's in control. He knows all the circumstances of life. We hear, and I know how tragic it is, especially with children, even Josh's mother, so young, passing away. But friend, our God knows what is right, and he does what is right all the time. And today, we need to choose. You know, I listened to a message this week of another pastor here in town. It's quite different than mine. He preached mostly about people griping, just griping. Said, I go places, people just griping about this. They're griping about the weather. You can't do nothing about the weather. Nothing. It makes no difference. You know, it's no use in complaining about it. They taught us that at Bill Rice Ranch. Every year we heard about that. Don't come griping about the weather. We can't do nothing about it. But yet, he preached on griping, and he had a cup, and he had it half full. He said, some people look at it as being half full. There's another group that sees it half empty, and they're always complaining. But the half-full bunch, they just take what they got and do. It was a good message, by the way. I enjoyed it. It even spoke to me. Made me understand I don't have much to complain about, but I can put my faith and trust in my God. Will you, this Thanksgiving, and every Thanksgiving, and every day, choose to be thankful for what God has done?